Are you ready? Indianapolis. The time has come. The bell has rung. Get in your seats for School Talk. I'm your host, and my name is Emerson. This is School Talk. You are tuned to the right station at the right time. Sometimes we make the wrong decision, and that decision can change our lives forever. Today, you will make another decision. So make the right move and jump on the bus. Here it comes. Woo! School Talk has arrived. Come on, let's go. On School Talk, we deal with issues. Issues that involve you, the student. Issues that involve you, the parent. Issues that involve you, the teacher. So get your pen or your pad or your personal planner. We're going to take notes. There will be a test. This is School Talk.
Take your seats and get ready.
School Talk is. It is. Because it's cold. Your fingers are cold. Your feet's cold. Your ears cold. Your hands don't work. Your lips don't
work. I'm rusty.
You just froze.
I'm your producer, Rusty.
Like I was talking to Coach Kirshen just now. He said it's cold outside. It is cold outside. So love it. Love it and drink it up. That's what the cup says. But anyway. But welcome to School Talk on this.
That's what it does say.
It does say. On this cold, cold February. February the 20th, 2015.
It don't make no sense. It just don't make no sense.
It's too cold out there. Y'all don't understand it. I mean, I do understand it because, I mean, we're spoiled. I mean, we are. Good morning, Mr. Easter.
Good morning.
I'm totally off script
That's
already.
That's all right.
But we're just spoiled because, like, y'all know I'm old. So back in the day, we had these cold days all the time from December through January, February. It was cold every single day, just like it is today. And I still don't like it. I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, I think the last two winters, last winter we had kind of both the bone-chilling cold, and you also had the snow last winter.
Yeah.
And then this winter with just the, the snow. Or we haven't had as much snow, but we've had cold. It's just been cold.
Yeah, and it could be worse. I've seen the news this morning up in Boston area. They had 6 inches and 8 inches and 12 inches of chunks of ice on their roof of the house.
Yeah.
And knocking it off with hatchets and mallets. So it could get worse. So I guess it's like life. Things might be tough where you're at, but it can't get worse.
Well, this morning I heard this noise. It sounded like water. Rushing.
Oh, that's not good.
I thought, I got a pipe burst or something. So I went and I checked, and it was my heat pump.
Oh,
it's
goodness.
Making some weird, it's probably awful noise.
I can't stand the cold.
So
I'm a heat pump.
So I turned it off and turned on like the auxiliary heat, you know, inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came on fine.
Wow.
And then I turned it off and went back out to the heat pump.
Wow.
And it was fine. But I don't know what. I think it was doing the same thing.
Yeah. So be careful out there, folks. The students are on a 2-hour delay today.
It is a 2-hour delay here
cold.
In the MSD of Wayne Township. It is cold, and you want to make sure you bundle up this morning. I know. You know, I went out there and I checked the heat pump, and I about froze.
Yeah, don't do that.
No,
you don't call in because I got a guest calling in today. Terry Moore is going to call in. She's the executive director of Beacon of Hope, and maybe she can bring some sunshine and some heat through the telephone us today.
You know what else is really hot?
What's that?
It's the
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it is.
It's on fire.
No, go for it.
I'm gonna give a little bed here while I read it.
Ha ha ha. That wrong type bell.
Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Let's start with Giants basketball tonight. Senior night, the Ben Davis Giants taking on Cathedral Friday here at Ben Davis, 7 p.m., not 7:30. Mm-hmm. I must have been half asleep when I wrote that. 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up on March the 13th, it is the Wayne Township Education Foundation Spaghetti Supper, pizza supper here at Ben Davis High School. That is from 5 to 7 p.m., so check that out. Of course, the Giant Spectacular is here all day tomorrow. If you've never seen the Giant Spectacular, it's one of the largest show choir competitions in the country.
It can make presidents change your date or candidates change your location.
Exactly. good luck to Norman Oglesby, Dylan Lighty, and Cache Wilder. They will be down at State on Friday and Saturday night. Starts tonight, goes to Saturday. So Cache Wilder, Dylan Lighty, and Norman Oglesby. Norman and Dylan. Norman is ranked number 2.
Wow.
And he's 35-0.
Wow.
And Dylan is number 1 in the state. He's 45-0.
Smoking BD.
And then Cache Wilder trying to do good things, too, down there. State Wrestling, go Wrestlers.
Hey.
Hopefully, first time since 1993.
That'd be awesome.
Possibly get an individual state champ. That'd be really cool. And, of course, a W will be a little bit, selfish here. March 19th is WBDG Day at City Barbecue in Avon. Proceeds will benefit the WBDG 4949 Marathon. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is...
Young folks doing great things on the west side.
Yeah.
The best side. The best high school in the world.
It is. The west side is the best side.
Might be kind of biased on that, but I don't care. I think the record shows that we have one of the best high schools in the world.
I think so.
I think so.
Who offers what Ben Davis offers?
Yeah. Nobody. No. Bobby Catterson said that.
I mean, with with the Area 31 Career Center, where you can take everything from landscape management to airplanes to firefighting to... BDTV, WBDG, heating and air, to
heat pumps,
auto body, to fixing the cars, mechanic, auto mechanic,
cosmetology,
health,
hair, yep,
haircut, all that stuff,
all that stuff,
child development. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those things are here.
Child development.
My phone's ringing.
Need a lot of that. Need a lot of child development. Sometimes our kids just do crazy stuff, so we need that. But I do have a calling guest this morning, and she's gonna be calling in shortly, and. She's an awesome young lady doing some great things in the community. And, February is an awesome month. A lot of things going on in the country. And my friend used to say, who's on the line?
Well, Emerson, I think it's your guest.
Oh, good morning, Terry Moore.
Good morning, Emerson. How are you?
How you doing, Terry? Great. Glad to have you in on this awesome, cold February, FUBURUARY month. And I said, a lot of folks is misspelling that word. All the way to the White House. And I did a spell check myself, so I did that also. But
it's February. What it is.
Good morning. I'm glad to have you on the show. You're doing great things in the community. I got Terry Moore on the phone. She's the executive director of the Beacon of Hope Center for Women Incorporated here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And once again, good morning, Terry. Glad to have you.
Good morning.
Hey, we've met over the few years. How did you get involved and how did you start the Beacon of Hope? Because what you're doing is so huge, and abuse affects our young people, our parents, our teachers, everybody. How did you get involved in with Beacon of Hope? How did you start Beacon of Hope?
Well, back in 2007, I went and did a fundraiser for another domestic violence organization. And afterwards, the pastor of that shelter sat down with us, three of my friends and myself, and said, ladies, there's a need for another organization like us, and I believe you guys are being called to do this. And then he looked at me and he said, I know, I feel very confident that you're the one that's supposed to lead this organization. And so that night, Beacon of Hope was born, and it pulled on my heart so much because I am a domestic violence survivor. Thriver. Off we went. And we now have been open 5 years.
Wow, awesome. And I know a lot of times our lives dictate a lot what we do in the future. And I can see where your life is taking you to something, doing something great. And as you know, also know, February is National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. A lot of our young folks, and with your organization, when you deal with women, how old are the women? Are they young? Old, they're coming to your organization?
Oh, we get them of all ages. We get the teens, we get we get the 21-year-olds, we get the 35-year-olds, and sometimes we get 50s and 60s in there.
Wow, 50s and 60s? I can, call me, I'll go get that abuser. leaving them alone. But because we both know, what I didn't know, I did a little research last night, and each year nearly 1.5 million high school students nationwide experience physical abuse from a dating partner. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know that it was that rampant.
Yep, one in four are in an abusive relationship right now.
That's scary when you look out in the hallways of our high schools and you see our great students going from class to class to even envision one in four of those individuals is going through something like that. That is scary.
I know. And Emerson, one in three teenagers are reporting that they know of someone that has been hit, kicked, punched, or physically abused in their peer arena.
And that's interesting, too. Okay, now what are they supposed to do? I mean, you stand by and not do anything. Are you an enabler or part of the problem? Because a lot of times, you already know, I'm not going to tell your age, but, you know, we older individuals know that sometimes our young people will go to another young person to tell their problem before they tell their adult or tell another older person. So are young people not doing the right thing as ratting them out?
I totally believe that's the case. And, you know, we're seeing it firsthand in Indiana. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Indiana, I'm going to speak all of central Indiana here. We are fifth in the nation in domestic violence abuse.
Get out of here.
We are third in the nation for teen dating violence abuse. And that just came in, we are top in the nation for teen suicide.
I did see that. And I did see that on a report, and that kind of hit me at the core. And I appreciate what Ben Davis is doing here as when it comes to suicide prevention. I know we all could do more, but that one knocked my socks off. And the bad part about it, everything that we talked about can lead to an individual taking their own life because they're dealing with the abuse, they're dealing with the depression, and they're not getting the help, and their friends are not doing the right things. That's scary. So I'm hoping that this national effort and your local effort can make a dent in that. What can someone do locally? And I got some other tips later, but for your organization, what can they do to help your organization?
I'm sorry, what can people do to help our organization?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, they can definitely donate financially to us because we have an incredible Teen Talk outreach and education program, but it doesn't fund itself. Program has been so successful for us that when we are invited to come into schools, we come in and we do an outreach and education and prevention program with the teens. So it's been an incredible program because when our victim advocate comes and does a pretest with these women, young women and young men, they have no idea that they're in a, they don't have a clue that they're in a dating violent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So then we show a video, we play games with them, and then we do a post-test. And the question is, so do you feel like you're in a domestic violence relationship? And it's very appalling what we see, but we are seeing people that are checking off yes.
Wow.
We are getting their attention, and we tell, and then we encourage them to either go talk with their school counselor or have their parents call Beacon of Hope because they're minors, so they have to get permission in order to come to us for counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel is that shouldn't be happening, but we have no control in that. The one statistic that I think will just really shock you, Emerson, that shocked us because we're getting more and more research in this month because of Teen Dating Violent Awareness Month. It's that 80% of girls who have been physically abused in their intimate relationships continue to date their abuser.
Ooh.
They're scared.
That's scary, but is it that you're so stuck in it? You're stuck in it because your relations are involved, your emotions are involved.
Yes, but the one thing that they're scared of more than anything, which was the situation in my case many, many, many years ago was that he threatened to kill me.
The abuser.
My abuser. And mm-hmm. so, therefore, I stayed with him because of that reason. But back to your original question, I just don't think that, I don't think that the schools are getting into the people's minds enough about mm-hmm. if you see something, say something.
Well, say that. Well, this is the school radio program. Say that again. I'm just going to say it. Say it again.
If you see something, say something.
So much sense. Now, that makes sense. Now, what don't make no sense, some things just don't make no sense. Hold on a second.
In a world filled with confusality, one man stood to make sense of everything.
Now, it's time for...
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. Now, I'm not a doctor, have no PhD, have no degree whatsoever, but I wonder, do abusers either don't realize that what they're doing is wrong, cannot stop themselves because of impulse control, substance abuse problems, or brain damage? I don't know what their problem is, but this is my message to you if you are an abuser. If you are an abuser and you simply don't care, you know, there ain't much I can say to you. And I'm just going to say it like that because it's a family-run radio station. I can't say what I want to say. But if you do care and you want to stop, you know, there are a few things that you can do. You know, you can get help. Go get help. Get clear on what abuse is. Stop rationalizing about the abuse treatment of others if it's acceptable. You know, get sober if you're on any type of alcohol and get professional help like the Beacon of Hope. You can do this if you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, that just don't.
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
And that's, I'm sticking to my word, Terry. Now, do the abusers know what they're doing? Or are they just stupid? I said it.
No, they absolutely know what they're doing. And believe it or not, 75% of males, young males, witnessing domestic violence and action by their father or their mother becomes abusers themselves. Because they have been raised in a very controlling home, they don't know anything else but control. So when they get into a relationship and they feel that they can control this woman, this young woman, or a young woman controls this man, they know what they're doing. They absolutely know what they're doing. And I agree with you. They need to get help.
Just like Terry. Yeah.
Terry, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to say, does it flip around? Sometimes as well, where a young man or a man can be in an abusive relationship and be the abused.
We are seeing it twofold. I mean, we are seeing the males being so abused right now with their significant other that you probably don't know this, but the shelters are now co-ed shelters.
Whoa.
Yes. That's how serious this got in Indianapolis last year and all across the nation. Every shelter must be co-ed if they receive one particular grant fund, okay? And if they don't receive it, then they don't need to be co-ed. It was just a shock. It was just literally a shock to all of us when we found out that this was going to take place.
And this may sound like a stupid question, but it would seem obviously dealing with an abused woman or with an abused man, you have a different set of issues that you're dealing with there as a counselor. Is that accurate?
Yes, definitely. That is definitely accurate.
Wow. From a man's point of view, I'm a man. Are we telling folks that we're getting beat up by our women? I mean, I don't mean sound funny, but are guys being too macho and then it goes too far and now you're at a point where you really, really, you're crying out now?
Well, you know, sometimes they don't get the warning signs. Both aspects, you know?
Wow.
Because the warning signs for domestic violence, and this is something that I think every teen should know, get it ingrained in their brain. Because I go back to the same thing, say something, see something. Something's not right in your gut. you go talk to somebody. You can remain anonymous, and you can probably save that person's life. But, you know, the warning signs are jealousy. Jealousy of each other, calling, texting, email numerous times a day, getting mad when the phone call or text or email is not returned. You know, one of the abusers, he has this angry outburst for no reason. They control all the decision making, where to go, who to be with, what time to be home. And the biggest one is require sex in any form from you.
Wow. Control.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that when we've gone into the schools and we've talked to the women, they just feel like they're so criticized. They're so condemned by their abuser. They never get praise, you know. But then here's what happens. When she goes and approaches him about all this, then he or she will bring flowers or cards or candy or chocolate. And it's like, oh, thank you. Please forgive me. And then, you know, the next night, she or he's beaten up.
Or the same night.
Or the same night, absolutely.
Mr. Easter?
So, you know, domestic violence, for those people out there listening, it's just not physical. It's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's financial, it's stalking, it's sexual. There's so many components that goes into sexual abuse.
When you look at, and I know with the current kind of change in society's attitudes towards same-sex relationships, are you having more couples, same-sex relationships as well, showing up in abusive situations?
We do not get that many, but because we're non-residential housing, but the shelters certainly do.
Domestic violence. Go ahead, John.
No, I was just saying, I know that's another aspect of it.
It is that, and then Indianapolis is also seeing more and more transgenders coming to the shelters.
I mean, domestic violence doesn't care. I mean, it don't care. It, you know, because like you said, it's a pattern of learned behavior. And that learned behavior, that word learned behavior in which one person tries to gain control over another person by any means necessary, including, like you say, emotional, verbal, sexual, physical, societal abuse. It don't care who you are, where you live, what your preference is, nothing. American, Chinese, it don't care. It just don't care. And then as a bystander, a person, a third person not involved in the abuse situation, you can't be an enabler. You've got to say something, like you said, say something. And I want you to comment on these here, some ways that someone can help prevent domestic violence. Like you said one, see something, say something. How about if you laughing at sexy jokes? I mean, you shouldn't do that.
Nope, that's one of them.
You know, and when you talk about knowledgeable, we got so much access to information, and I'm 60 years old, and today you got so much access to information unlike I did when I was 18 or 15, whatever. You know, so there's no reason you can't say you don't have access to information or services because it's right in front of you right now. That don't make no sense.
Exactly. There are so many resources out here, but I think that what we need to do as a community, I think we need to really understand what warning signs we need to look for to help these victims of domestic violence. And I already shared the warning signs from the abuser, but the warning signs that we need to be looking for, especially in schools, is, okay, so if there's somebody that's wearing heavy-duty makeup that doesn't usually wear makeup, I can guarantee you there's bruises under her eyes.
Wow.
If you're in school and it's hot outside, you know, and they continuously wear long-sleeve shirts, there's bruises on her arm. You know, if they wear a wig, and this is what happened in another school that just really took us by storm. This little girl had to wear a hat because her boyfriend got in such a fight with her that he pulled so much of her hair out.
Ooh.
And not only did that, but cut her hair off because he wanted her to look ugly so no other guy in that school would approach her.
You see, that'd make me mad. See, that. See, ooh. You see, I got four daughters. And, you know, when my daughters used to date, I used to tell the dude, I said, we're going to go for a walk. And if I don't like the conversation, one of us is not coming back. I mean, that's just straight up. I mean, I was like the kind of daddy that, you know, you come to the door and I got a gun in my hand, saying, you here to see who, you know, or I'm out the kind of daddy sitting in the backyard shooting the target, you know, in that one movie. I'm that kind of dad. And our parents need to step up to the plate when it comes to our young people. Get involved in what your young folks are involved in. And don't be afraid to talk to your kids and find out what they're going through.
I could not agree more. And I think this is where society lacks right now. I think that I'm going to just say this, but I think the way the teenagers are today with the guns and the knives, I think some parents are very scared of their kids. So they just let them come home, go into a room, let them get on their video, their cell phone. They don't monitor it as much as they could. Because we asked a parent, we said, why did you not talk to your son about this? Because I'm scared to death of my son. I never know when he's going to stab me.
I believe that.
It's just sick out there.
I do believe that. And because I talked about with Pastor Covington on my other show, when it comes to discipline, and you have a young person who's in the elementary school in your discipline, and you're disciplining that child throughout. This is discipline, not abuse. Discipline your child throughout that your childhood and into your teen year and teens. But if you never discipline them, and now they're standing eye to eye with you, and now you're gonna try to tell them what to do. And they're standing just as tall as you, and you never, ever, 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 ever tried to discipline them. You got a hopeless case. It's hopeless. Unless they're some great, super awesome kids that really love their parents. But you need to start early when it comes to raising your children. I mean, what parents supposed to do anyway? Raise your kids. So elementary. I don't know, Terry. I mean, we need your organization. We need what you're doing. What are your contact information if folks want to reach out to you?
Well, if they are in a crisis situation and they'd like to call us and speak to us confidential, they can reach us at 731-6140. And if they would like to maybe volunteer, come in, work some projects in the center, or someone that's listening would like to even speak to me, I would be happy to speak to them, and they can reach us at 731-6131.
Or their organization. You can definitely want to come out and talk to their organization.
Yeah, or they could also find us on the web at beaconofhopeindy.org.
You do something in the fundraising I see a lot on the net with purses.
Oh, yes. We're going to get you to be a model this year.
I carry a man bag. Come on now. I can carry a man.
I know. You would do great. We have so much fun. We had a retired Colts player as a model this last year, and it was hilarious. He was shy, and he left very broken.
Tell me a little bit about how that fundraiser works.
Well, women come to the purse auction, and they bring a newer, gently used purse, and we put it up on display. We have a lunch. We have raffle prizes. We have a guest speaker, and then they live auction comes up. Live auctioneer comes up, and off we go. And last year we raised $31,000.
Dang, ooh, that's much. And, that's awesome. Push the magic button on that one. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you. We have some incredible events coming up. We have a bowl-a-thon coming up in April. We don't know the exact location. I was supposed to. Anyway, we'll let you know on that one. And and then
multitasking.
And then we have a Lead the Way breakfast for networking for business owners and so forth on on April 17th at the Country Club of Indianapolis. And then we have our second annual Bow Wow Luau.
Bow Wow. Wow.
Because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Are you Bow Wowing?
Yep, we have Bow Wow Luau. It's a pet event. And Lily's Lighthouse, in conjunction with Beacon of Hope, is presenting it. And the one thing that we, the reason we do this event is because the poor pets are being abused.
Mm.
There's been some teenagers that when they're not getting the correct response from their victim, then they're stabbing their family cat, family dog. And another reason we launched this program is because 40% of women do not want to leave their abusive situation in fear of what might happen to their animals.
Yeah, I can believe that. I miss my doggy. I passed away, but I couldn't handle. I put it this way. When my pet passed, I said, that was it. I'm just going to get goldfish because I couldn't handle the emotion. Any type of emotion. I took her to the vet to have her put down because she got so old. But it was like, that was it. That's it for me. I'm just going to get goldfish or something or ants.
We miss peaches.
I do miss peaches. That dog was, you throw a frisbee, she catch it, she bring it back. I had a man try to buy her one time for duck hunting. I said, no, that's my dog. But I miss my dog, and I see why folks be emotional attachment to their pet. That's why I said, I can't go through that. I'm too old.
Yeah.
So I'll get either ants or some pet rock or something. I'm sorry, Trey, I can't hang. I'm just...
I understand. And you know what? We have a wonderful foster pet program, like I just said, Lily's Lighthouse. And so we're looking for foster families that have lost a pet and they do not want that emotional tie because we need help. We need families to step up to the plate, put their animal, put a victim's animal into their beautiful, safe home for 30 to 45 days. Until the victim is able to be reunited with the animal.
I might think about that. It's huge. What you're doing is huge, and thank God that you're doing some good, awesome fundraisers. Folks, we need to do more to help out this organization, Beacon of Hope, and other organizations that deal with any type of abuse because it's not right. Terry, thanks for calling in. We'll see great things in the future from you. I know from you and from Beacon of Hope. And for all you do for the kids here in the Wayne Township and the parents and everybody in Indianapolis, Indiana, thank you very much.
Thank you, Emerson. It's been an honor to be on your show again.
Hootie-hoo! To the parents. We got to get out of here. To the parents and to the teachers. Our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what you're going to be giving back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. Also, hang with the right people. Don't hang with no child abuser or no boyfriend abuser or girlfriend abuser. Don't hang with abusers. We don't want no abusers. It's okay to copy. It's okay to copy the right cat. Long as the right cat is the right cat, like Terry Moore, she's the right copycat. Copy her all day long. But don't copy the wrong people, and don't get hung with the wrong crowd. Views expressed on schools like this is Views MVT, Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or Giant 90.9. I hate abusers. Is hate rough too much? No, hate's not a bad word. Hate is a bad word.
Not in this case.
Not this case. Get clear. That's worse than sagging pants. Abuser is worse than sagging pants. That's just bad.
I agree. I don't have anything for you to rip up today.
Give me the trash can. Just give me the trash can. Tear up the trash can. Make this get fixed up. I can't stand abusers. I can't stand sagging pants. I can't stand the cold. But I love Terry Moore. See you next week on. No, you won't see me next week. We got a break. We back next week?
Yeah, we'll be back.
We're back. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make the year go back. I'm ready for summertime break. See you next week on
School. I think we'll be here.
Hey, Dr. Buster, are you coming
now
back?
Now you got me wondering.
I'll probably get a Twitter from Dr. Buster in a minute. Boy, you crazy. Be careful out there, y'all. It's cold. See you next week on School Talk.